Trendy is presented for the people by Caesar Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, must be 21 years or older. Welcome back to another edition of Trendy, presented by Omaha, the show where we like to compete while exploring the best ways to wager for casual and cappers and friends at home. I am in a bit of a slump, and not because I am having a bad week, because my opponents are rising to the challenge. They're coming up, they're swinging, they're getting all their bets right, and they keep taking down your hero here. So I invited on the one guy that I think will shrink from the challenge, my friend Brett Corominas. How are you doing today, Brett?
Well, I was doing a lot better before that introduction. I'm excited. I had a horrible week. I was the worst EP. I had the lowest EP total. Brad had the lowest regular total. But then he came on and did really well. So now it's like extra pressure because I will officially be the worst trendy participant if I lose again and humiliate myself this week. So like I was like looking at all my bets and I was the second guess express should just be everything. So I was like, is this gonna hit? I don't want to get this one wrong. What's your credit?
Yeah.
Am I ordering these right? I'm looking to just simply avoid humiliation. Like, I'm sorry, all you bettors out there that are listening. I'm not trying to make you money. My bar that I'm trying to clear is avoiding humiliation.
All right. Well, fade Brett all week. Brad did beat me last week, 19.5 to 17.6 with some last minute heroics from one David Montgomery. I had taken the lead. All I needed was Montgomery not to score or for the Pistons to cover against the Bulls. I got neither, and he gets the dub. So congrats to Brad. So before we get into this week's contest, though, Brett, I know you and I talk a lot about the beautiful game on Covered in Glory every single week. And by the way, if you were not tuning in this weekend, you missed the greatest sporting event, a 4-4 banger between City and Chelsea that had nothing but a treasure trove of storylines and action. It was Guardiola said after the game, it was an advert for the Premier League, and I hope you were watching. But we're off this week, so we won't be back to talk about that. That's the other reason I wanted to have Brett on, because I miss him when he has gone out of my life for a week, so I get to talk about it with him here.
Aww. You humiliate me in the intro, then you make up for it right there.
Yeah, no, it's a real roller coaster.
It is. It's really tough.
While we're taking a break from the beautiful game, while they're on their international duties, I did want to get back with Brett on the NBA, because I mentioned this the first time you came on. Like, despite how much we talk about soccer, you know just as much as, if not more, about the NBA and the college game and all those sorts of things. So I wanted to talk to you about the progress of the season so far. We're, 9-10 games in for most teams. We're starting to see teams' identities form. We're getting some early results that are coming in. And I want to talk to you about what are the things that have surprised you the most about the association a couple of weeks into the season.
I mean, I think it's got to be the Sixers, number one, right? You know, the James Harden saga kind of envelops their entire offseason. I don't want to say he gets, Harden's not the same player. So it wasn't, if you looked at the names that were in that trade maybe like 2 or 3 years ago, you'd be like, what are they doing? It's pennies on the dollar. But in general, like, they took a key piece from a pretty good Philly team that was like a quasi contender. They traded Harden and they're 8-1 and might be the second best team in basketball third best team in basketball behind the Nuggets and the Celtics. Tyrese Maxey had 50 last night. Like,
yeah,
he's completely blown up to a new level of player that I don't know if you expected this from Hinton Harden's absence. I certainly didn't. So that's been a little bit shocking. And then one of the other surprising developments in the East for me is just that my Tyrese Haliburton love, man. The Pacers are above 500 and looking like a playoff team. And he is one of the best. I love great passers. I have debates all the time with basketball buddies about passing value being completely underrated. So seeing Indiana do well is great, because it's kind of showing like Haliburton is the type of player that's going to uplift a team and make them greater than the sum of their parts, which I love. And I think my third and final surprise is the Mavericks are winning and I don't trust their defense. And it's I'm waiting for that. I'm looking at that roster and I'm like, that team can't defend, but they only have two losses. Is the bottom going to fall out at some point?
Yeah, I mean, it's a team led by Luka and led by Kyrie, and so you don't look at them and think they're going to win games through that end of the court.
Right.
And at some point, it has to sink out to the point where, like, they just can't outscore them. You would think, right? But, like, this is something we do talk about in the Premier League all the time, which is the value of banking these early wins. And so you look at the Mavericks and you say they're 8-2. Can they keep this up? Well, the answer is no, but the very fact that they already have 8 in the win columns is going to matter a ton when it comes time to sort out, like, who's going to get like the 6 through 10 seeds at the end of the season. And so, like, while I know everybody's still watching the NFL and people aren't paying attention, those are the games that really matter, right? Like, it's the Mavericks getting to the 8 wins. It's the Wolves getting off the snide the way they have. And we're going to talk more about the Wolves today, but getting a win in November counts just as much as getting a win in April when it comes down to playoff positioning.
Well, yeah, and we talk about this in the Champions League too, right? Like, the play-in games are essentially the knockout round tournament, right? You don't even have a full series to try to sort of have some greater ability to determine the better team. And so if you can avoid the one-game play-ins, like, that's a huge benefit for these teams. And if so, the difference between sixth and seventh and being in those games is massive for the NBA right now. And I think you're right on 100% that, like, if the Mavericks play like even 500-ish from here on out, banking these early wins could be the difference between them being in the play-in and then being securely in the sixth seed. And that means they're automatically in the playoffs and guaranteed a full series to try to beat somebody.
Yeah, and look, it makes some of the bets I gave out with Mark Gunnels a couple of weeks ago even better, right? Like, if we're going to see the Mavericks get into the picture with starting at 8-2, the Wolves look like they're absolutely for real. Like, the teams like the Grizzlies to miss the playoffs, it's just a matter of math. Like, you're just going to run out of real estate. I think it was the Grizzlies and the Pelicans I gave out, and you're just going to run out of the number of teams that can make it. So I've enjoyed watching the Mavs play this year because Luka, I mean, I don't know. I said that a little bit flippantly, right? Like, I said that just like instinctually that I've enjoyed watching him. I mean, but Luka does have a little bit of like that harden in him where if he's going to dominate the ball that much and dribble and finally make a play, like, you don't really want to watch the first three quarters. It's fun to watch him in the fourth, but you don't want 2.5 hours of it. So I've enjoyed watching the fourth quarter of Mavericks games. I think that would be better to say.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's definitely not. It's kind of like watching City, right? Like, we talk about this in for the Premier League. Keep it continuing. I'm going to pull everything back that you say to soccer and then move back to basketball. But, like, you know, Manchester City are an impressive juggernaut. Pep Guardiola does things in kind of like the aggregate that make that team really interesting. Do I particularly, other than the chaos that went on Stamford Bridge this last weekend, do I particularly watch City winning 2-0 and limiting the other opponent to like one shot? No. Is it a really effective strategy? And do I appreciate the underlying brilliance to make it happen? Yes. So basically what I'm trying to say is Luka Doncic is the Manchester City of basketball players.
Well, let me be the first person to compare the Minnesota Timberwolves to Manchester City. Not something that I think that you're going to see in a lot of podcasts out there.
Interesting.
And it's what you're talking about. Like, City's doing it with different tactics than the rest of the league. And I've really, like, forget about the Mavericks fourth quarter. I love watching the Wolves. I love watching this different style that they're bringing to the game, right? Like, it is refreshing in the sea of sameness that we've seen in recent years as analytics continue to push basketball into the corner three more and more and more for obvious reasons with obvious results. And we've seen teams that are able to generate highly efficient looks from beyond the arc have obviously progressed more and more in the modern age of basketball. And to see Minnesota, I mean, they still have that. Towns will stretch the floor and other people stretch the floor, but to be able to do it with two bigs and have it be a different look for teams that have to come to Minnesota when Minnesota comes to their town has been fun. It's been fun. Like, Golden State looked miserable. Golden State looked miserable. And I don't just mean like the ball didn't go through the hoop every time. Like, they looked like they hated playing against the Wolves. And that matters a lot in the regular season. So I've got some Wolves bet coming today, but they've been a pleasant surprise for me that this Gobert trade that was a, I still think it was a catastrophe long-term and probably even short-term, is at least forcing the league to play a different style of basketball one out of four out of 82 times when Minnesota comes to town. And rather than just watching, you know, the sea of sameness continue to take up our TV screens.
Yeah. And I mean, the interesting thing about Gobert too, is he is a fascinating player. He was kind of a lightning rod for the French team kind of going out early in the FIBA World Cup this summer. You know, the trade has been universally panned. So me personally, I've always seen his value. I think he adds value in, to a team. And so kind of always doesn't sit well with me when a guy just gets like completely annihilated for things that are sort of beyond his control. But he's fascinating in the sense is that, you know, we've talked about this, I think, you know, on the last show, I think you and Mark Gunnels maybe talked about this too, but like the regular season and the playoffs are two completely different entities for the NBA. And Gobert is a dude that will help you win a bunch of games in the regular season, but then immediately transitions into sort of kind of an anchor in a lot of ways, and not in a good defensive anchor. I mean, like weighing you down the playoffs. And so like the Wolves are going to be fascinating for that aspect. We may see this team continue this run, play really well, win 50, 55 games. I mean, that's definitely in the range of outcomes here, but then maybe have to completely shift how they play in the very first series of the playoffs. And I think that kind of stuff is really fun. It's really interesting to talk about that and just see those different dynamics at play.
Yeah, it's why I'm going to – the Wolves are my heater this week. I mean, we'll get to the – when we get to the actual section. But the Wolves are my heater because I'm going to make money on them in the regular season. I'm going to make money on the ticket that I put in for them to make the playoffs. But I'm not betting them to win the title. I'm not betting any futures things because once you see them seven times – and you can make the adjustments. It's not just this weird circus show coming to your, you know, 3-and-D league that you're used to playing against every night. And then you make adjustments. And once they figure out a way to hunt Gobert in the perimeter on pick and rolls consistently, then you have to get him off the court. And then all of a sudden, they're just a worse version of the other teams that are trying to play 3-and-D. So I love the regular season. I love their betting on them, but I am not betting them to win the title. The other thing I'm pleasantly surprised with, Brett, early on in the NBA season is the combination of the in-season tournament and load management means I think I'm watching guys actually try a lot more night after night. And I'm not saying that they're like, oh, I've got to win $500,000 and the in-season tournament matters much. But I think this inaugural one, like those guys are showing up. Like LeBron and KD are going at each other in that tournament game, and maybe their natural competitive juices would have kicked in anyway. But a lot of times we see Durant or LeBron sit that game when they're going head to head, just because of the amount of load management that happens. And the fact that that's not a dominant storyline, and we're seeing competitive fixtures on Friday nights in the NBA where guys are going full speed, that's all I really want. I mean, like, if they're going to go, if they're going to show up, if they're going to dress out and they're going to give their all, maybe not to the point where it's like game seven in the finals, but that's all you could really ask for as a fan. And whatever they're doing behind the scenes to crack down on load management and giving some sort of new shiny object for the players to chase has created a combination where I feel like I'm watching guys give greater effort earlier in the season than is typical.
Yeah, I mean, well, to that point, I'm not going to pretend that I've watched every team and every game. But the best game that I personally have watched this season was the in-season tournament game between Golden State and OKC that I think was like 141 or to 139 or something absurd like that. So, I mean, I like that. I mean, I think for the players, it's just something new, like, you know, having some experience working with guys that were veterans for a while, you know, it does get a little rote for them, especially if they're successful guys that are used to playing on playoff teams. You know, the regular season is just a grind. Like you're trying not to get hurt. Like you're just trying to get through it. So you're like maybe 80% going into the playoffs. I mean, most of these guys are really banged up after the season are over when they get into the playoffs. And so I think like having just something to spice up where it's not just, my body's beat up. We're traveling to Atlanta after we've been on the West Coast the whole time. You know, now I got to play another game. It's like, oh, we got this like extra thing. So I do think in that sense, like it's not necessarily the money is a motivator, but I do think it just breaks up the monotony And really, it might just come down to the fact that those courts are like that episode of Seinfeld where Kramer's got the tanning bed in there.
God, those courts are horrible.
That might just wake you up just looking at those courts. I almost had a seizure watching that OKC Golden State game from that court.
Those courts are so horrible. Those jerseys are so horrible. But the guys are playing. And like as a gambler and as somebody hosting a gambling show here, like I appreciate where you can predict that you'll get effort, because that actually makes it a little easier to handicap. Maybe not easier, but it makes you feel better about the handicapping because you're removing the variable, will the guy give a crap tonight? So I'm in here for the in-season tournament, even though, my God, like it might just be a radio product at this point for me. I might have to go back to like the 50s in order to really enjoy it.
That's all right. Old school Toby. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, as I said, we are a gambling program, so that is our early season NBA chat. But let's get into our action right after this break from Caesars.
You know, when the conversation turns stampers, I always go with my number one as Caesars. Let's talk about them a little bit, shall we? Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesars Palace. All this can be yours when you bet with Caesars Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns rewards credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using this code. Listen up, OmahaFull. The word Omaha and the word full. And then you place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, great. If you keep those winnings, but if you lose, you'll get your stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and over only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bonus bet, $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harrah's, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or West Virginia, 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
All right, we are back, and it's time to play Heart, Head, Heat, or Cred. For those of you just tuning in, we give bets out in different categories about whether you're just following your instincts, your heart, whether you're diving deep into the numbers with your head, whether you just want to play one pattern, set it and forget it, which is my best category that I do in, and not overanalyze, just play it every single night of the week. That is the heater. And then if you're only to make one bet, what would it be? That is credibility. We also get to tail or fail one of the other bets to make a total of 6 units wagered per show. And then we see who does the best over the 18 units throughout the week. So Brett, I did lose last week, but I beat the hell out of you the last time you came on, as you already mentioned. So I'm going to claim honors, and I am starting at Monday Night Football for my heart bet. I am going with an SGP of the Bills money line, and then Allen to throw one interception and one touchdown as well, or at least one of each. And now he's done this in the last 5 games. Denver's recorded an interception each of their last 5 games. So right there, you feel pretty decent about the interception. And I don't like the Bills' money line tonight. They're not going to win them. They're not really going to win the game without Allen throwing at least one TD. So you get some good correlation. And I think they'll continue to stay the course of beating Denver by taking over this flighty Broncos team. I'm not sure which quarterback I'm ultimately going to name this bet after, which is the one court, one interception, one touchdown bet. I've had a lot of success with it on the show, but I think Allen submits his name with another strong performance tonight. He's the primary candidate. It's like down to him and Garoppolo. And I think he's going to see one go the other way. And I think he's going to get one into the end zone while the Bills win the game. See, that's a perfect example of the head category. I'm sorry, the heart category. I just feel it, Brett. I'm going off vibes here. I am feeling this one. I am feeling this to happen tonight, and I'm getting plus 166 for it, making me feel like I'm going to cash this bet.
Yeah, I was very close to tailing this one. And I do think, going back to the name of what this bet should be called, I think Jimmy G was your first QB that you did this with. And I feel like the polarizing nature of Jimmy G makes him like a perfect fit. Like, just the, you just call this like the, and it has a nice name, ring to it, right? The Jimmy G bet. I'm making the Jimmy G bet tonight, right? And everybody's gonna be like, maybe. Oh yeah, touchdown, interception, Jimmy G, that's about right.
He also might be out of the league in 18 months. So I think that's got a little more staying power. We'll see. It's really the Brett Favre bet.
Oh yeah. Oh gosh. As somebody who grew up in Wisconsin during the 90s. Yeah, absolutely. That's a Brett Favre bet. Yeah. Well, I mean, I was very close to doing that. I think the only thing that stopped me is like interceptions tend to be a little bit fluky. And as much as the Broncos secondary has been basically shredded apart, they don't really have like that ball hawking cornerback. I know Surtain's great. Justin Simmons has been back. But I couldn't get to the interception part with Allen, and he is so volatile with those games where he just gives the ball to the other team, but then the next time he comes out and he's got four touchdowns. I couldn't get quite there. My heart bet, though, is it's weird. It's a reversal. You're taking football. I'm going to the NBA here, where you've been killing it, I think. I'm going straight with the Cavs money line. And it's only minus 150 for against a Kings team. It's on the road, but it's against a Kings team without De'Aaron Fox, who you talk about this with Gunnels. Anybody who's watched the Kings play knows this. Fox is the engine that makes that team go. And I thought this number would be like a minus 220 type money line. I thought the spread would be a little bit higher, but I think it's because the Cavs are 4-5, but a lot of early season record related stuff, I think, is a lot of noise because the schedules are so unbalanced, right? So if you look at the Cavs schedule, they played the Warriors twice, the Thunder twice, the Knicks twice, and the Pacers twice. And all those teams, as of right now, are playoff teams. So they have not been able, and they also have a close loss to the Nets as well. So all those teams are playoff teams. And I think part of that is being fed into this lower money line number. And I just think, like, I'm not a big Donovan Mitchell guy, but I love me some Darius Garland. Like, give me some Darius Garland. And I just think that team's good. I watched them against Golden State. They're really long and tough defensively. They gave Golden State problems in the two times that they beat them. They're missing Okoro now, but I've been a Max Strus guy who came in as a big free agent sign, and I think he adds another dimension to the wing that they haven't had before. I think this is a good team. I think it's a 50-win team, and I think a Kings team minus De'Aaron Fox is about a 30-win team. And
think the Cavs are a 50-win team?
Absolutely. I am a big Jared Allen guy. I think Mobley's good. I think they have depth. I'm not a big George Niang guy, and he fills out their rotation, but I do think this team has enough depth and scoring pop to get to that number in the regular season. Is it the most likely outcome? Probably not, but I think that they can get there.
Interesting.
And I just think this Kings team without De'Aaron Fox is closer to a 35-win team than the 48-ish win team I think they were last year. So this, to me, this money line just seemed a little bit off when I just at first glance. And that's what the hard pick is, how you just described it. First glance. Bam.
I know. If you had taken it and adjusted, I might have followed you there. But it's minus 150, so the juice isn't where I want it to be. But if you had taken it up to Cavs, I don't know, minus 3 or 4 and got that closer to a positive number, then I would have been with you. See if you're with me on this one. I'm interested which one you are going to follow me on, or you could fail me. I like when people fail me.
That was my big reveal. So I'm going to fail a pick.
All right. Well, let's find out which one. Maybe it's this one. It's Perine over 13.5 receiving yards minus 115. I think you're crazy if you fail this one. It's not a sexy bet, but Perine has hit this number in all eight games and averages 28.9 per game. He serves for a safety valve for a quarterback who can't get it down the field like he used to in a game where the Broncos will likely be trailing in the second half, increasing Perine's snap count and the number of balls that are put into the air. The Bills D has also given up 168 yards receiving to running backs in the last three games, while Perine has 62% of the receiving yards for the Broncos out of the backfield this year. So add it all up, carry the one, divide by infinity, and walk through the window to collect your winnings minus 115 tonight.
Yeah, well, I am crazy, Toby, because this is the bet I'm failing. The reason is the Sean Payton running back carousel is definitely not in favor of Samaje Perine. His snap counts or percentage snap share percentages were pretty high to start the year. He had 60% as a high in week five when Javonte Williams was out. Since then, he's been at 17%, 25%, and 24%. Jaleel McLaughlin's getting snaps. Michael Burton, who I can honestly say I don't know who that is, has been getting 20% of snaps in week eight. And Javonte Williams got 63% of the snaps. And here's the one reason why I fail. This Buffalo team worries me with their defense kind of in shambles right now. I would have been all over this and tailed this maybe 3 weeks ago when they looked more dominant, but this team looks flawed, and I don't think the game script is necessarily going to be that lock that you're talking about, where they will be throwing more frequently in the second half. So I think this game is going to be closer. My head pick actually is Denver plus 7, so it feeds into your bet. And the reason being is I think this game is going to be closer than expected, which means we're not going to get that pass-heavy game script, which would lead to a great, you know, over bet for Perine. So I'm actually going to fail this one, man. I don't. Can we still be friends if I fail something? How does this work?
I wish you a lot of luck. The Denver team held KC to 9 points, Green Bay to 17. And then KC again to 8 points. And that's why his snap count was down. So if you're right, maybe it is correlated if they're able to keep the Bills offense kind of off the field and keep their point scoring down quite a bit, then maybe you're right. But even in those three games that I just said, he still cleared 13.5. 13.5 is just too low a line for a guy who's going to catch 2 to 3 balls. So anyway, I'm glad you failed it. Gives me a head start on you. Anything else you want to throw out about the Broncos, or should we move over to the heater?
No, we can move over to the heater. I basically gave my head reasoning there is I think this Buffalo defense is sinking a little bit without Milano and some of the other injuries that they've had. And Denver's been plucky. So yeah, 7 points is a lot of points.
Lucky is a good way to describe them. All right. So I tipped my heater earlier. It is the Wolves against the spread all week. The Wolves, they have covered in 5 of the last 6. The one they lost was by the hook. I think they were 7.5 and they won by 7. And I know we spent a lot of time talking about them at the top of the show, but I love betting on teams like this that are trying to make their mark earlier in the year, particularly when, as we discussed, coaches do not have as much time to prepare for the curveball like they do in the playoff. As a result, they end up being covering machines because the teams just aren't ready for it when they come to town. They are plus 4 against Golden State on Tuesday, and Minnesota's size has been a big problem for Golden State. Last night, as I said, Golden State looked really miserable. The Wolves won that game outright, 116 to 110. Ant-Man had 33 last night, and no one could get going for the Warriors besides Curry, who dropped 38, which should be the most concerning thing about this game for the Warriors. They're 4-point favorites. Curry got 38 and they lost by 6 in the exact same scenario, you know, whatever that was 18 hours ago. So what's going to change between now and Tuesday night? Are they going to have to get 50 out of Curry? Draymond couldn't get anything going. Klay can't get anything going against this size. And I just think that the Wolves, if they're not going to win outright again, could definitely keep it within a field goal at the end of the game. I also like them against the Suns and the Pelicans later in the week for very similar reasons. I think their size is going to give both of those teams a lot of problems. And whether they'll probably be favored against the Pelicans, but they'll probably be dogs against Suns. And who the hell even knows who will be playing for the Suns in that game? So I love my chances to win at least 2 this week. And I think I got a real good shot to win all 3.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like we don't need to go over this one, but I mean, I think the logic is perfect. This team is built for regular season success. And with, I think, the way that models can be weighted, they're going to put a lot of priors from last year still in the early season. So this is like definitely a good time to jump on the Wolves.
The time too, because it's not just the models. Like eventually adjustments will be made and they'll fizzle out. They'll come back to center a little bit, but do not underestimate a guy like Ant trying to make his mark on the league and actually finally getting a chance to win and going at them harder in the regular season than they go in the playoffs. And so we saw with the Kings last year, we're seeing a little bit with the Magic and Pacers now, but I think the Wolves are the best example of it. So like cash these tickets between now and Christmas and then reevaluate afterwards about how the league is adjusted.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, speaking of Anthony Edwards, like that Team USA bump, it's real. Like when those guys all come back after doing those events where they spend weeks, months with some of the best players in the world, the highly competitive atmospheres, and they always come back with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. And I think that's definitely something that's going on with Anthony Edwards right now.
And added to the column for reasons to back them tonight, like he's not a lock to make the Olympic team. I think he's pretty close to it, but Kerr's the Olympic coach. And of course, you know, you got to put a show on for the national team guy when you got him in front of you.
Yeah, well, and I mean, there was that story that floated around a lot too during the World Cup where Kerr like watched him work out as the number one pick. And even though he was sweating, thought he was working hard, Kerr was like, "You don't work hard enough." And I guess that was like a huge motivating factor for him going forward. So we'll see. He might want to stick it to him tonight. I like it. I think that's going to be a great play. Unfortunately, I'm going up against it all week, which is a problem. But I like my Heater pick because Toby, we're all getting caught up in the dazzling lights of CJ Stroud looking like a rookie possible MVP candidate. But man, has the NFL quarterback play as a whole been pretty brutal this year. Yeah. So my Heater is just simply this, throwing out some of the numbers, which might be high. I am just taking road QB overs INTs this week. So my bets will all come mostly on the Friday show, but just a little bit of a preview. Zach Wilson heads to Buffalo. Will Levis heads to Jacksonville. And Tommy DeVito is going to your Washington Commanders. So I got three really juicy options just right off the bat. And that's not even, you know, including that the Raiders are at the Dolphins, the Bears are at the Lions. Kenny Pickett is going against the Browns. Joe Burrow at two interceptions is going last week against the Texans, is going against the Ravens. Toby, I'm going to have some options for some really juicy INT overs this week, and I'm excited.
Yeah, and look, this is a great opportunity to play the one-on-one bet as well. Like with all those guys going up there and all, I mean, you can't be a lock for a pick, but pretty good odds for the cast of characters that you just read out. But then they get down and they somehow scramble back and get one in through the air as well. And so like that, you'll for those that group of quarterbacks, the heavier action will probably be on the one touchdown, whereas like it's a really long bet on Allen, and you'll get into the plus number correlating them in the Brett Favre special over the weekend. So I'll be looking at that on Friday as well as some in-season tournament games. So I'm already excited for Friday's episode, even more excited to know now that you'll be giving out most of your heaters then. All right, let's get through today's episode though, wrapping it up into the credibility category. And I am going with Porzingis over 18.5 tonight against the Knicks at -115. And I would be so mad if I was Porzingis. Like you go from this savior of the franchise to this cast off that's being kicked around the league and basically have to add things in to trades to get rid of him. And he's still so freaking good. And the Knicks are the ones that took him from, you know, the penthouse down to the basement. And he looks at it every time he plays against them, Brett. I don't know if you, you know, really notice this or you clock it, but he scored 23 a game against the Knicks in his 9 games since he left New York. And in 7 of those 9 games, he got at least 19. One of the other two where he didn't, he got to 18. He went for 30 against them on the opening night. And I can tell you this with certainty and watching that game and watching others, Randall and Mitchell cannot guard him at all. Those guys do not have the skill set to stay with them on the perimeter because they'll just shoot over them and they won't want it. They don't close out close enough to them. And then if they put Randall on him, Randall's a horrible defender, and Porzingis will have his way either on the perimeter or the post. And so, like, with the particular personnel the Knicks are going to roll against it, combined with the deep-seated kind of revenge factor, the Wickian quality that Porzingis is showing each time he plays against them, I love this bet. If I could have put all my units on it, I would have today. I think he's going to clear this. I think he's going to show the New York fans yet again why they shouldn't have given up on him so easily.
Yeah, I mean, there's that definitely is a thing. I think, well, not necessarily like a revenge factor thing, but just like players have weird things about certain cities. So one of our guys was from Charlotte, and this is the inverse about it. And every time that he would go to Charlotte, I would just be like sitting, like trying not to throw up because I'm like, he's going to play terrible tonight. Because every time he went home, he always tried to do too much. He wanted to impress people, whatever. So for him in particular, that game was always made me nervous, like as someone who worked with him, because I was like, he's going to press, he's going to do too much. And he would have some pretty bad games when he would go back home. But then there are other players that definitely, whether it was like, they just like being in a certain city or a certain arena, or there was maybe a little personal animus and they just want to have a good game, or they're playing against like a guy that they just want to have a big matchup against them. So that thing is definitely real and impacts players. And if there is a pattern with Porzingis, there probably is definitely something for him in New York. So I like that. And unfortunately, I have to give a credibility pick without any credibility. I don't know. We haven't looked at the bylaws of how this works, but I have no credibility giving a credibility pick. And
nothing to lose then. Come on. What do you got?
Yeah. Well, and somehow my credibility pick involves the biggest scapegoat of last season in Russell Wilson hitting the over of 211.5 passing yards tonight against Buffalo at -115, with the reason that Buffalo, including the Sumar Sports, Buffalo used to be a top five EPA per play team, estimated points added per play team defensively. They have already dropped over the last few weeks to 16th. There's a stat called success rate, which is essentially just like the percentage of positive plays a defense gives up. They are the eighth lowest ranked team in that now. And this Broncos team is going to be able to sustain drives, dink and dunk. And Buffalo is worse now against the pass than they are against the run in EPA. And 211 yards in a game like this, even if Wilson isn't throwing the ball down here, downfield a lot, is not a hard number to clear. And the other thing that makes me feel good about it is I picked this number right away this morning, and already it's moved over to 212.5 with the juice going up to -117. But I feel like I get it locked in for when I pick my bets. So I'm taking the 211.5 over at -115. But get it in now, folks, because that line is moving upward.
Yeah. It makes me sick, but I'm tailing this. I mean, it makes me sick because Wilson's game log is pretty bad recently, right? Like, and I hope we can chalk that up to game strip, but 114 versus the Chiefs, 194 against Green Bay, 95 yards against the Chiefs in the first matchup, 196 against the Jets. I mean, you got to go back all the way to October 1st to when he cleared this mark at 211, but you are right about the Bills defense. The Bills defense is going the exact opposite way. So they gave up 348 last week to Burrow, 237, 272 the week before that. And the 272 was to Mac freaking Jones. And if Mac Jones could throw for 272, Russell Wilson could throw for 211.
Jones Collery.
Yeah, basically, like I was going to fail this until I realized what Jones did against the Bills defense. And then at that point, you know, might even take Tommy DeVito overs.
Oh God, don't go there. Oh, if Eddie hears that, man, you're gonna get like the nicest Christmas card now.
All right.
Toby, you're a believer in Tommy D like me.
Oh my gosh, I cannot believe I just tailed Russell Wilson. We better take a break so I can regroup. We'll be right back with Second Guess Express. Okay, buddy, we are back, and we will close out with what you said was your most crowded column on your betting sheet is your Second Guess Express. I'll let you go first. What did you select from the wide variety of options that you were picking among?
I wanted or thought heavily about taking the Bulls plus nine against a Bucks team that I'm pretty sure is fundamentally broken. But two things stop me from that. One, I'd be betting on the Bulls. And that didn't make me feel good, Toby. I don't know about you. You were fading them, I think, just last week. So doesn't make me feel good to take them even with 9 points. And two, there have been a lot of changes with this Milwaukee team. So I don't want to stick so close to an evaluation that they are fundamentally broken until I have a little more evidence. But looking at the roster, looking at the way that Adrian Griffin has been utilizing this roster, this team seems like there's something wrong, and maybe that can get cleaned up as the personnel gets used to each other, as the staff gets used to the personnel that they have. But there is a lot of big question marks in this team. And the only reason they didn't make my surprise at the beginning part of the show was that this rough patch was not surprising when you took a team devoid of point of attack defenders, stripped it of Drew Holiday, and then you have the most flammable backcourt duo in the league and Damian Lillard and Malik Beasley playing a bunch of minutes together. Brooke Lopez is like -8 per 48 with his net rating. You're talking about one of the league's most stalwart defenders for a long time, and they all of a sudden can't compete with him on the court. So there are a lot of warning signs, but again, not sure how much of that is noise, and it just doesn't feel like in the pit of my stomach, just being like, I'm going to take the Bulls plus the points. I get that like gag reflex.
Well, I am sad, Brett. I almost changed the taping of our show from Monday to Tuesday. Yes, we would have lost Monday Night Football, but we would have gained the Thunder Spurs matchup that's coming tomorrow night. That is going to be must-see television for NBA nerds like myself. And so my second guess express, because they haven't posted the numbers yet, I'm just going with a blind block bet. We're going with Chet and Wemby, parlay whatever their block total is. It'll probably be 1.5 each. It'll put you into plus territory. And these two freaks are definitely going to go at each other. And their defense exceeds their offense at this point in time. I think both of them get at least two blocks tomorrow night, probably with one on each other. I mean, although I don't know if Chet can actually get to Wemby's shot. And I think it's going to be awesome to watch. I think you'll get a plus number, and it'll be the most fun way you could spend Tuesday. So I'm just giving it out blind, whatever the odds are, Chet and Wemby both to go over on their blocks in their first of what is hopefully many freakish showdowns.
Yeah, I mean, the fun part about betting their block totals is like you're not just waiting for them to like swat a shot near the rim. Like they just eclipse people shooting corner threes.
Yeah.
It's the most insane thing. I mean, so I'll wrap the show with the quickest side that just makes fun of me. So I'm 5'9", you know, a little like set shot threes. And we used to do some closeout stuff with our NBA guys. And if anybody like over 6'7", if they closed out on me shooting a corner three, they were putting that into the wall. They always loved it. They always had fun with it. Like it would even if it like interrupted the flow of whatever we were trying to work on, they would just love to just like swat me with my low release. And every time I see Wemby close out on a corner three shooter, I just get the image of what those guys must have felt like closing out on me, because he just swallows them up like the sun devouring a planet.
Yeah,
it's so funny.
I don't know if you can have a higher bit of praise for what Wemby has done to the league, where he makes NBA players look like Brett Corominos out there on the court.
And that's 100% what I was trying to get at. 100% is he makes them look all like me. Just that humiliating singing factor of like, I'm open to shoot this three. Oh, the ball's coming back at my face.
Yeah. Cool. Oh, man. I wish I could see that. I really wish I could watch Wemby guard you. Now we got a reality show at that point.
There was one time, though, when I'll save that story for another day. Another episode, I'll tell the story about Giannis being at one of our workouts and how that looked.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, I know what Friday is going to focus on. Yeah. Embarrassing stories about you getting destroyed by the freak.
Well, he didn't destroy me in that, but there was definitely a moment where he was helping me demonstrate something, and the disparity between his size and my size was absolutely comical.
Well, hopefully what's not comical, Brett, is what we're going to bring to everybody on the Extra Points Podcast Network this week, unless we mean it to be, unless it's extra points and we're trying to entertain everybody. You know what? I do this every episode. You're a producer at this network. You don't have anything to plug because we're not all covered in glory this week. Why don't you take my plug for me? Tell everybody what they have in store for us this week on our network.
Well, we have the Lemon Pep and Parlay show with Martin and Mark, and those two have an absolutely hilarious dynamic of the quiet, reserved Mark Gunnels and the very loud Martin Weiss going back and forth covering football and occasionally a basketball here and there. We have our minus three program, which is great. The halftime show, folks, if you are listening
to pregame show
or pregame show, because it fits in a halftime show for time frame, the pregame show is fantastic. You have to catch Eddie and Dave and Hinch on that show. Whatever you're doing, stop, go back, watch recent episodes, bookmark it on your calendar for Friday. It has been great. We also have extra points, the very talented Jen Piacenti on waiver wire tomorrow. Look out for that. Our network has some very, very talented people, so don't let Toby and I ruin it for you.
I was about to say, it has some very talented people and us.
Yes.
All right. Well, enjoy Chet and Wemby tomorrow night. I'm really excited for that. We got Monday Night Football tonight, obviously. I'm going to enjoy watching Porzingis light up the Knicks and take an early lead on Brett. We'll be back to report on that and with another slate of Hardhead Heater Crit on Wednesday. Until then, take care, everyone.